Hi, friends. Welcome back to episode 3 of our Conversations with Oscars Rewind series. We're in the year 2013. I don't remember much about the year 2013. I was in college. Things were happening. Anyway, today we're talking about Django Unchained, written and directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring Jamie Foxx, Christoph Waltz, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Kerry Washington. It was nominated for five Oscars, including Best Picture, Supporting Actor for Christoph Waltz, Original Screenplay for Quentin Tarantino, Cinematography and Sound Editing. It won Supporting Actor for Christoph Waltz. Let's dig in. Let's dive in. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And these are our thoughts.
these are the tales of that's on something right that's,
yeah
these are the stories or tales of dragon tales something. Never mind. Whatever, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. Okay, so Django Unchained, I believe we've all seen this before. Yes, this was, yes, all a rewatch. Okay,
yes.
If you have read, if you had listened to our episode about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you could probably guess how we feel about this movie. I'll link it in the show notes to that episode. But I'll say that his type of like film bro-y type of ness movie is not something I like typically. It's not my kind of movie. And sometimes when people watch movies about subjects like, for example, slavery, I have a hard time separating the harsh realities of that to a movie for entertainment. I can't enjoy it because I just keep thinking about those people and what they suffered, and I can't separate the two. Like, some people can watch it and it's not a big deal, and I just can't separate the two. Like that and like exorcisms, to me, I don't touch that. That is not entertainment to me. But other people can watch it and it's fine. So that's probably why I've only seen one other Quentin Tarantino movie, or two others ones, and Inglourious Basterds was really great. I really enjoyed it. I guess I can watch Nazis getting killed and not. But the movies of this nature are very hard for me to watch, because I can't separate the reality of it. So did I like it? I'm gonna say.
Awesome. There were elements of it I appreciated more this time around. Knowing that it was nominated for cinematography and sound editing, I kind of paid attention to those. And I felt like the cinematography was really great in some spots. I enjoyed that. The sound editing was fine. Like I said, that's not a category I feel particularly well-versed in enough to have too much of an opinion, but I liked it enough. Quentin Tarantino, he just gives me the ick. He gives me a big fat case of the ick. And I don't vibe with what he's selling. I don't. Inglourious Basterds was fine to me. I think there was some good moments. And in this movie, I thought there were some great moments, and some good moments. I wouldn't say great. This movie wasn't great to me. But yeah, I don't think this was a story for him to tell.
There it is.
That's also a fair, yeah. That's
there it is.
That's that.
I feel like if this was in the hands of
somebody else,
filmmaker, it probably wouldn't have like felt as icky to me. But you know what I will say? Christoph Waltz is so goddamn charming. God, I love him.
I would compare this to, I think this is what, I compare this to,
oh my God, what's that called?
The Harder They Fall. I think this is, The Harder They Fall, if you ever saw it, how this just it, that is what happens when creatives of color tell stories of color, because they're presenting these things with eyes that are the best to be told the story. So like, that movie's just really good. But like, if you compare it to this movie where like Quentin Tarantino just kind of like throwing the N-word around just like for fun, just because like, oh, I finally get to say it, so I'm gonna say it, you know. It feels very like I'm taking advantage of the opportunity, so I'm gonna do it. And like, there's nothing wrong with like a story of like a bounty hunter recruiting this slave and freeing him and making him into this great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like he's just painting this picture in a way that doesn't necessarily feel like, I don't know the words. I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say, but I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You know what I did notice was at the end when Quentin Tarantino makes his appearance.
Yeah, he's not an actor, by the way.
No, he stood out like a sore thumb because this is a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you have to say about the movie, this is a killer cast, and they all, I think, knocked it out of the park. But his whatever voice accent he was trying to put on was terrible.
It was horrible.
He didn't say the end.
Is he in Australia all of a sudden? What just happened? It was so weird.
But did you notice how he didn't say the N-word? He said black. He called him black. I was like, oh, so you'll make other people say it, but you won't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like, I remember reading multiple reports of like Leo and Christoph Waltz like being so uncomfortable with like the vulgarity of the scenes themselves or the language. There's like, but yeah. Quentin Tarantino's encouraging like, oh, it's okay. It'll be great. It'll be good. Just, you know, and like, I don't usually fault the actors because like actors are just doing what they're told. They're reading off a script. They're doing what the director is wanting them to do. And especially because the director is also the writer in this case. So it just feels like he's getting all these toys that he wants to play with them his way. And it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, honestly.
Ick.
Didn't like it. Yeah, ick is it. That's right. You're right.
I will say watching it again, the way they did the violence, I appreciated, and that it was kind of over the top. It was so over the top, and it was so like explosive to where it kind of, at least this time around for me, it took almost like it took a layer off. Like, oh, this is so over the top. Like, it's not too gruesome, if that makes sense. Even though there's so much blood, I'm like, but it's not. It didn't look too realistic to where I felt like it was really happening for most of it.
I don't know. Those gunshot wounds or those gunshots being that close range kind of does that. So maybe it is realistic. I mean,
it's really like over the top in the way that it's almost like a caricature. Like you're watching a cartoon, like when it goes boom or bam or whatever.
And like the brightness of the blood.
Yeah. And I'm sure that he meant it in a more like serious tone, like, oh, it's so violent and gruesome and whatever. But sometimes it kind of comes off of like not serious, like not in the same tone of the movie. It seems a little more campy than like what the movie is trying to be. Yeah. They just tonally, it kind of shifts a little bit when it's like that, I think.
I will say my favorite death was at the very end. When he makes them say bye, Miss Laura, and then he shoots Miss Laura, and she goes shoop, out of the frame.
It's almost like they pull you on a string, like boom, like that.
Yeah, that's literally what it looks like.
Just missing the cane around her neck.
There are Showtime at the Apollo.
Bye, Miss Laura. And they shoot me on out. That I did appreciate.
I'm really glad that I rewatched this like now with my film brain, because there's so many things that I like didn't even comprehend or didn't even notice the first time around. And the cinematography was one of them, because I was like, I actually like have a shot list for this. Like, it's not just like some other dumb movie, although it is a pretty ridiculous kind of movie. But overall, I had a better impression this time around than the last. I didn't think it was terrible. I don't think this is something that can really be like super entertaining because of like themes and content wise. It's not really, or again, not from this like perspective, it can't really be seen as like film entertainment or whatever. But it wasn't like the worst movie I've ever seen. It was not as bad as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That, I think, to me, that one was worse. But I really can't, I really don't think it's justified at like almost 3 hours of this. Like no. There was too many parts where I was like, this shit is just like dragging on. These scenes are really slow. Like we could have like picked it up, especially with something like you have so much quote unquote action in this. Like there's so much like happening for like 5 seconds. And then like things just still like way too much. And I really, there's an easily 45 minutes you can cut out of there. There's no need. And especially I felt with this movie the way I felt with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that I thought it was going to end like 3 or 4 times and then it kept going. And I was just like, what? That doesn't, story-wise, that doesn't make sense. Like, okay, I thought we were done. Oh, but we're back again. And it's like just for more violence. And then it's over, but then it's not. It just feels really gimmicky. But I guess that's like his thing, I guess. I haven't seen enough of his movies.
I don't think I have either, honestly. I don't know if, I mean, like I said, just the three. But I think of, like, I do enjoy the, like, the revenge fantasy angle of this. How, like, Django is a former slave and he's getting his opportunity to, you know, seek revenge and also rescue his wife and see life on the other side. And it's, I like that angle about it. I think it's probably, I know, not to talk about another movie that we already talked about, but like that was my problem with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that like that movie had no structure and it had a great setup for Sharon Tate to have a revenge fantasy a la Inglourious Basterds or Django Unchained, and it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was just Leo and like a flame gun thing and whatever. But I feel like this movie structurally, story-wise, was very interesting. But I do agree that it could have been like at least 45 minutes shorter. Like, learn to edit, please. Like, I know it's your masterpiece, but like, just learn to edit, please.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in defense of his screenplay, I felt like it was very tight. I loved like the callbacks at the end when he had the note. That was his lucky note for killing the guy with his son in the field. That callback at the end was great. I just, overall, thinking of the story and the structure, I do appreciate the screenplay. Maybe not all the words in the screenplay, and maybe not how long the screenplay was, but I appreciate.
The screenplay, but not the dialogue.
There you go.
Bingo, bingo.
And you know what?
Django.
That's something that like I didn't. That 2013 was like what, 9 years ago? So like I obviously didn't remember all of this. And I was like, oh wait, it's a revenge movie. Oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, I'm interested. But then it just kind of like does a bunch of other shit before we can get to the and I love a good revenge movie. Yes. Kill them all, take your power back, murder them, whatever. Love that for you. I love it. I live for that shit. And then I was like, they just left him. He's like a background character in his own story. And I didn't like that. That felt really like, again, who's writing this? And then I understand that like, it's the movie's named after him. So I'm assuming that he's the lead, but like, you still don't get a whole lot of time with him. You get more time with like Christoph Waltz and like literally everyone else. And I just, it just feels like a little bit of a misdirection. Like, again, in the hands of someone a little bit more qualified with a better perspective, that would have been really great and really interesting. So then only parts of it end up being great and interesting.
It's interesting that you say you don't feel he was a lead, because I felt like he was a lead. I mean, I could argue that Christoph Waltz was a co-lead. Because they're together, like it's he won Best Supporting Actor, right?
And this was the longest screen time for a supporting actor.
Yeah, he was definitely a lead actor, and I feel like Django, Jamie Foxx was as well. I felt he's very much. There wasn't too much where Django wasn't with, what was the Dr. Schwartz or something?
Schultz.
I'm sorry. I feel like they were. I don't know their actual run times, but I feel like they were pretty equal.
Well, considering the fact that like he was nominated for supporting actor, again, category fraud, we call it every year.
Well, yeah. But
like it just, why you call it supporting actor, but it feels like it does feel like a co-lead. So I'm like, if he was the lead, wouldn't he have like abundantly more screen time than
not necessarily.
I don't know. I feel like this was a good call supporting because
really?
He was supporting Django the entire time. He, you know, he paid for him or whatever, and then he freed him. And he was like, I need your help with this. They did the job. And then he was like, now I'm going to help you. He taught him how to read. He taught him how to shoot. He taught him how to be a free man. And then he helped him get his wife back. Like, he was just supporting him the entire time, supporting his story. Not so much advancing the plot or the life of Dr. Schultz, I felt like.
That's interesting because you equate it, the category is like literally supporting rather than like than the screen time or more lines or top of the what's it called
billing
top billing or whatever the case is. That you actually mean it as supporting, like literally supporting the person,
supporting the story is what I think a supporting actor means to me. I mean, I feel like it gets hairy whenever the character's in there for 10 minutes. It's like, okay, really, that's a stunt performance. Like, yeah, you're supporting the story, but to what degree? Does this 10 minutes that you're in really change the film? Does it really push it forward? Does it really add to the story? Like, that's where my kind of issue comes in.
So I see Django and, or I see Christoph Waltz and Jamie Foxx as leads, and I see, like, Leonardo DiCaprio and Samuel L. Jackson as supporting, especially Leo. Like, yeah. I remember the talk around this that year was like, why did he get a nomination? Like, why didn't he? Like, it was a big uproar. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, he was really good. I think he should have been there. But more importantly, Samuel L. Jackson was fantastic.
Yes.
And he should have been in the conversation, and he never was.
He should have been
so good.
And that's my problem with the cast in this. Like, yeah, it's a really talented cast. But I think by far, Samuel L. Jackson was way better than Christoph Waltz in this. And it's not even close. There's no reason why Christoph Waltz should be in the supporting actor category. That feels wrong to me. It feels more like a co-lead. So that's just wrong, period. But even then, if I'm just thinking about just acting-wise and what they were given and what they put out, I feel like Samuel L. Jackson, it was meatier, it was more interesting, and it was like, you know, it was there. Like that progressed the story, that added interest to the story. Like Samuel Jackson over Christoph Waltz 100%.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like had this been written by a person of color, you would have been able to deep dive into the dynamics of Samuel L. Jackson and how he's like a house slave, but like he's in the house, but he's like also like not of them. So like that whole like he's his right hand man, but he's also like, remember, like I'm still the boss of you. Like that's a very interesting dynamic that we could have explored, because we don't typically see that, at least not in that sense. So to see that would have been very interesting, even just for a little bit. And because when your master is shot and you're sitting there crying holding him, there's a story that we want to know. It's right there, you know? So it's little things like that I realized, like, had this been told by someone else, it would have been a much more compelling story, I feel. Mm-hmm.
I would like to read you a brief poem as a review on Letterboxd.
Oh, God, yes.
By user Sophie. Django Unchained. Bounty, hunted, Christoph, waltz, yee, haw. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Sophie, for
much. Shout out to that author of that review. That's amazing.
Oh my God.
That's so good.
That made me laugh so hard.
I can't.
That's fantastic.
Okay. So.
Oh my God.
That's amazing. Oh, okay. Real quick. There's two costumes in this that stood out really well, obviously, because they were the brightest things in the fucking screen, other than, you know, the over-the-top blood everywhere. And it was Django's, his first outfit that he gets to pick for himself, the bright blue with the, like, ruffled undershirt. Beautiful, talented, incredible, amazing, satin, it fit him really, really nicely. Like, it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And I love that the other lady asked him, she was like, are they making you wear that? Did you pick that yourself? But I love that his first option is like, I'm going to look good. I'm going to stand out.
Opulent. And
I'm gonna look great. Yes, I'm extravagant. I love that for him. And then, why did I want to call her? What's her name? Liv from Scandal?
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington. Yeah. The yellow dress when she's in the field with the little puff sleeves. It was so pretty and so simple and just like, of course he's gonna see her that way and that very like angelic, very like he's like got her on a pedestal. Like that's what
she's dreamlike. He's dreaming about her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I think the hair and makeup was really great. Samuel Jackson's makeup, it took me like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's him. I thought that was really great. But also I really appreciated the detail of adding the grit to the teeth.
Yes. Yes.
So cute.
It was disgusting, but it was so.
That's like my biggest pet peeve when about movies of like. Back in the days when, like, they clearly didn't have dental. So, like, their teeth are going to be terrible. When you see someone in the field and have, like, bright white teeth, like, I don't know. It's not that hard. It's that that annoys me also when people have empty cups in a scene and they don't know how to act like there's water in it. You're an actor. You get paid so much money. Are you stupid? that's neither here nor there. But I agree. Yeah. Whenever they need to have shitty teeth, they have to.
Yeah,
it's the same with Leonardo DiCaprio had him.
Yeah, I love that. Fantastic. Of course,
yeah, it's the same thing. Like in dystopian novels, where like the girl has like, you know, no leg hair and she doesn't have to shave and she's clean. And I was like, I'm pretty sure there would not be accessible razors there. Okay.
Yeah, because there, 1 week and we all look like, you know, Teen Wolf over here. So I'm pretty sure years in you know, yeah. Hello. Anyways,
let me see. So I totally forgot Jonah Hill had like a little cameo in this.
Oh yeah.
What's Jonah Hill doing in here? Random.
I feel like a lot of this movie, I was just like, I don't care about this. I have no interest in this at all.
Yeah, there was a lot of things. Really, you could just chop. Bye bye.
But that scene was, I really appreciated the cinematography and the lighting of that scene with all the torches.
Yeah.
That was really nice. Other than that, could have done without.
Exactly. Also, Don Johnson be playing racist all the time. Remember when
you literally made the same note.
And I was like, oh, there you are again, homie. Okay.
And then what was he did another movie where he was racist. Oh, Knives Out, where he was like a secret racist, but he was a racist. Still, yeah, he does that a lot. He just has like a racist looking face to me at this
point. Sus, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I think just Quentin Tarantino and his movies will just be something me and Film Twitter will have to disagree on, because even people who aren't film bros love his movies and I just don't understand it. And I have tried actively. I have tried. I really do. And I can't do it. I can't.
To be fair, I haven't seen his earlier work. I haven't seen any of the Kill Bills or Pulp Fiction. And those are like
the big ones.
Film classics that everyone loves. So while my opinion is that I don't enjoy him, I will save Final Judgment until I see those.
Yeah. Same.
Well, if he was so good, he'd still be good. So whatever.
I've only seen half of the first Kill Bill, and I like action movies, so it was interesting, but also, like, I know that, like, he has his own signature, but I don't know that it's, like, the best way to tell that story either. I don't like, again, so much time could have been saved by just not doing slow motion. Like, slow motion just dragged things on, and I was like, okay, it's violent, it's bloody, blah, 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 blah. But let's speed it up a little bit. Let's get to the story. Let's get to the interesting parts. But nothing happened.
Agreed. Cosign. Concur.
I didn't really like that John Legend song that was in there.
You did or you didn't?
I did. I was like, oh, John Legend. I forget sometimes that he's really talented, and then he pops up, and I'm like, ah, yeah, there you are.
Well, what does it say about me that I really liked that that Rick Ross song?
I knew it.
I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this song. It's good.
Anyways. You know what always like baffles me, and even to this day, because I've seen people do it, but like, how in the fuck are you wearing like a 3-4-5-piece suit, tweed suit at that, in Mississippi, in the South, when it's hot as fuck outside? Like, I don't understand how they're not literally boiling to death.
They were. Like,
I would be fucking miserable and sweaty and just grouchy and just miserable in general.
It's just the way of life, you know?
Well, and that's just the men. The women are wearing 10 layers under their dresses.
Yeah. I'm like, bitch, no.
They didn't know any other way. That was just how it was.
And that was proper.
And I think about, like, I think about back in those, like, what, 1800s or something?
Yeah.
The process of, like, locating somebody. That's, like, how, I know he said he, like, talked to people and he traveled for, like, years or whatever, but, like, that's nuts to me. Like, we just go on Instagram and, like, stalk somebody, cyber stalk somebody. Back then, they had to, like, literally go out and talk to people and negotiate and, like, years to find one person for something that happened probably a long time ago. Like, that's wild to me. Same with, like, nothing to do with movie, but, like, I watched a movie, was it last year for Oscar season? The one with Tom Hanks. He's, like, delivering the News of the World. News of the World. And it was about, did y'all ever see it?
No.
Okay, so it's around that time, and because not everyone got a newspaper or could even read, Tom Hanks played a character where he went to towns and just read the news to them. And that's all he did. He would just gather all these papers from different cities, local cities, other states, whatever, and go to these small little towns, and they would gather in like this gathering area, like a town hall or something, and just he would just read the news. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so interesting to me. He's just like he's like a reporter, like a traveling reporter, like, but he's not reporting. He's not investigating. He's just kind of like reading it. So interesting. Anyways,
technology. Yeah,
that time was wild. It's very wild. I don't know how you guys did it. So good job. He's literally listening to me because.
Hey, ghosts. If you're hearing us, we don't know, but congrats.
I'm sorry for all your. Yeah, because of you, we are here. So thanks for that. People I don't know, they're probably like in the walls, you know, like just like their aura or something, you know. Anyways, I don't know why I'm talking about this. I'm getting real. It's related night, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm like, oh, like this is fun. I have a shot list. Can I do that?
Yes, go.
Okay. All right, I'm done.
No, I have one. I have a shot. Or did you not have
it? Which one? No, you go. You go.
So it's in the beginning of the movie. And like, this is after or right before they get to Tennessee. They're out of Texas. And it's them riding into town. And it's I believe it's sunset. And it's like the wall is pink and blue and all that's gorgeous. Like they're in silhouette and in the foreground. And then it's really pretty. Or even just like the placement of, I really like it when actors are placed very well, like staged very well in a shot. Like whenever it happened several times, but the ones coming to my mind is where they finally get to Candyland, barf, and and they say, where's the girl? Oh, she's in the box or something. So they all turn to look at it, and just the way that they're placed, somewhere on the stairs and just like down there, and Django's right here, like that was all, that was really, really good. I know that's like basic direction, but I still enjoy it. It's good.
Yeah, and like if you're gonna have that many heavy hitters, that many good actors, you've got to be able to showcase them properly. And yeah, being able to stage is an important skill to have that not everybody has, and not everybody hires the right
That's
people.
That's true. You're that. Right. So I mean, I think it's basic direction, but I guess it's not.
It is, it is, but people forget the really simple.
Yeah.
Times, so
we've seen some shitty movies, we know.
Did I ever tell you guys that one time, because I'm an idiot and I had no idea, I was going through a big Peter Pan phase, And I was like, I want to own a mansion and it's going to be Neverland. And like all the rooms are going to be different areas of Neverland. And my family was like, we have something to tell you. And then they told me about Michael Jackson's Neverland. And I was like,
keep my idea. What a jerk.
No, because this was about the time that allegations were starting to come out. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay. I don't need Neverland.
You can call it like.
But I wanted it Neverland. I wanted Peter Pan.
You know what?
And he ruined it.
You ruined it for everybody.
Doesn't surprise me that you had a Peter Pan face. That seems very on brand for you.
I love Peter Pan.
Okay, shot list. Shot at night through the trees when they're walking before he's freed. Wow, that rhymed.
Oh, bars.
Woo! It's because I was, who was it? Rick Ross? Is that who it was? Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and in the intro when they're walking across and they have all the like oil lamps in their hands, mm-hmm. and just see them through the trees. Nice. The sunset silhouette as they're leaving the town with Django and the German guy, because they couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I like that.
It's that shot you were talking about, yeah. All that stuff when they were, where Django and the German guy were going through the snow, Dr. when you Schultz? Have the snow, Dr. Schultz? The snow, and they were in the foreground, and then it, like, switches the reverse shot where, like, it's closer up to them. That the whole winter shots were really good, especially because it contrasted like how fucking hot it is in the South all the time. Do I have another one? Yes. Oh, Django emerging out of the smoke after he blows up the Australians. Nice. It's like quintessential like hero of the movie shot. He just like comes out of the smoke and he's like, I'm alive, bitch. Yeah, it's great. All right, that's all I had. There weren't that many.
Also, I really liked the shadow, the use of shadow when he and Kerry Washington are reunited.
Yeah.
And they're like kissing and it's just the reflection. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
Also like Dr. Schultz's coat in the very beginning.
With the gray coat.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I was like, I want that.
Yeah. Very much of the time.
Also, they got paid to collect those two guys $75. That's so crazy.
But then $7,000 for that one dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they thought $75 was a good deal, $7,000 must have been crazy. Oh my God. I don't even have $75 right now. Damn.
It's because it was that rent check.
Yeah, literally. I'm broke as a bitch. I think another thing too about this, now that I remember, I think I blocked some of this movie out because I just was disturbed by a lot of it. And I remember now being so disturbed by those guys fighting and like Leo, like watching them. That whole sequence made me so like, it just makes me so uncomfortable. I did not like it at all. I don't even think I looked at the TV screen.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I was rewatching that at home and that it's on Netflix, because like, whenever those scenes were on, or whenever after they catch Kerry Washington and Django from escaping, I was just like, oh, I'm gonna go in the kitchen and it's time to get myself a drink or a snack.
That's all in the theater originally.
Yeah, me too. And I could have
really hard. That was really hard to take for sure.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, that scene was really hard, and I looked at my phone for that. But also the dog scene.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch it.
Oh yeah.
Me also. Either.
That was no
way. Also when he shot the horse in the very beginning of the movie, I was like, why?
And then it like, I can't remember what scene, but it does like really abrupt flashbacks to the dog scene in another scene toward the end. And I was like, oh no,
when Christoph Waltz gets ready to shoot.
Yeah, I literally looked away for a reason and now you're like flashing it in my eyes. I didn't want that. My last note, Don Johnson looking like Colonel Sanders. Good job, hair, makeup, costume.
Right. I think I have any other notes. Do you have any other notes to talk about?
I do not.
Oh, one last note. Samuel L. Jackson, the first time you see him, his face is literally like, if looks could kill. He looks so like, that was the stare down.
Acting. He's acting.
Acting. Yes. 100%.
Leo actually cut his hand for real when he shot that scene. When he hits his hand on the table, that's real blood.
Which made, I knew that. And so I always thought that was his real blood he smeared on her.
Oh, no, no, no.
But after they cut, they cleaned him up and he was like, what if we did it like this? And then they got the fake blood for her face. And I was like, oh my God, that makes me feel so much better.
I mean, I don't know him, but I feel like he wouldn't wipe his blood on someone else's face.
The way I originally read it was that like he did it, he was still in scene and they continued filming and then he rubbed his hand on her and I was like, oh my God. I thought like maybe he was just meant to grab her. Anyway, it put me off for a very long time and figured out that I was wrong today and I'm very happy to be wrong.
Oh wow, just today. Okay, learning so much today. That's good.
Last note, whenever Django shoots Samuel Jackson, my knees were hurting real bad. I was like, not this phantom pains from a random person in a movie. I was like, ooh, I'm gonna take a leave real quick. Made me real thankful for my knees. Wow.
So yeah, do we want to do our rankings? I have a feeling I know what they're gonna be. So
wait, we didn't go through the categories.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, so do we think this should be Best Picture nominated, everyone? And the church said,
meh. No, I'll say no.
The church said no. All right. Okay. What do I think about that? I'm trying to take my personal opinions out. I'm going to say, sure. It wasn't a terrible movie, but it wasn't like the best either. So I'm going to say, sure.
I'm going to say that it wasn't Vice. So sure. Yeah. I compare everything that I think is terrible to Vice.
Was Vice the worst nominated picture of all time?
To me, yes. Currently, from what I've seen, yes.
Okay. That's fair.
So everything if it should be in there or not, it's always like.
Was Vice worse than Don't Look Up?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I blocked out a lot of Vice because I was so angry I had to watch that. So I don't know. I don't remember. To be fair. Okay. So Best Supporting Actor was won by Christoph Waltz. He beat Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, and Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. What are we thinking?
Do you guys remember who was like, who would have been like second place or who else was like the top one at that time?
Because I was Alan Arkin for Argo, but I'm really? Not exactly sure. I don't remember.
I remember it being pretty done deal that this was Christoph Waltz.
I don't remember. Okay. But I still think Leo should be there and supporting, and Christoph should be a lead. And I'm still in the camp of Dwight Henry from Beasts of Southern Wild. But as far as I honestly think Christoph Waltz was better in Inglourious Basterds. There's more meat for him to chew on in that movie. This one's just kind of like, okay. So it's kind of like his character was a little bit underwritten. I would like to know like why he's this. I mean, does he talk about being a German in the United States very much? I don't think so, right?
Not like seriously. He mentions it in passing at the dinner table.
That's what I thought. So I would love for all their long ass journeys they go on for them to have like a cool scene on some horses talking about how like, because that actually happened. A lot of people, Germans of that time were, or not German, yeah, but of that time were like anti-slavery. And so however they made it to the States, they did their thing and, you know, helped with all that. So it would have been a really, again, interesting angle if it was better written.
Well,
more compelling story.
I did read that Quentin Tarantino, you know, wrote this for Christoph Waltz, and Christoph Waltz originally turned him down saying, no, I don't want this. And he was like, what can I do? And Christoph Waltz was like, make it to where he doesn't do anything. How is it worded? Like, he doesn't do anything evil, and everything he does like is purposeful. So like, yeah, he kills, but it's because of the bounty. He's not like a ruthless killer who will kill anybody.
He's doing a job.
Yeah, and like he is fighting the evils and the injustices of like freeing Django and helping Django rescue Brunhilde and all of that. So that was kind of his request.
Right. We still could have gotten to like his story and background. I feel like making him a well-rounded character would have been, I probably would have been more on board with this nomination had we known more about him as a character. Because like I said, there's not a lot for him to chew on scene-wise. And should he have one? I don't think so. Well, I mean, we'll get into the rest of it, but so far he's the only one we've seen. So I'm going to say sure.
And I would say like I've already mentioned, Samuel Jackson in this category. And I would even venture to say Jamie Foxx in lead actor, even though I haven't seen all of them.
I'm going
to
write Samuel Jackson. Samuel.
I'd put Jamie Foxx in best actor.
I am of the unpopular opinion that I liked Christoph Waltz here, and I don't mind him winning. I haven't seen enough. I'll revisit that at the end when we've seen everything, but, and it could be just because I like him so much, but.
I believe he won in Inglourious Basterds as well.
Yeah. I just think he's so fucking charming.
And in that one, he plays a villain. This one plays like a hero. Right. So it's interesting how that works out. So next category is Best Original Screenplay, which it won, written by Quentin Tarantino. It beat Amour, Flight, Moonrise Kingdom, and Zero Dark. Which was a better screenplay, Amour or Django Unchained?
Oh, it's so hard. That's such a tough one.
That's such a weird ass category.
Yeah. They literally threw everything in there.
Yeah.
Which is good because there's variety, but also
very
like,
interesting like category of movies for sure.
Like, I don't even know how you would start to compare them. I would have to, that's another one I'll come back to.
And like,
after I see rewatch Moonrise and Zero.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to rewatch Flight. I'm sorry, I'm fine. Okay. What was the next
one? I watched it. It was
I've seen it before, but I'm not gonna rewatch it. Okay. So sound editing, it did not win, but the winners were Skyfall and Zero Dark Thirty.
Was there a tie?
Yeah. So do we think it should have been in sound editing? Sure. I have no idea.
Yeah, with all the gunshots.
And the echoes.
And the explosion.
Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, bang.
There's a lot of sound happening.
That's how we get sound categories. There's a lot of sounds in there.
Yeah, there's lots of sounds.
But speaking of, I finally have obtained all of the James Bond films, and it will start my journey from the very beginning soon.
How exciting.
Very beginning, like what year beginning?
The very first James Bond.
When was that? I don't know.
50s, maybe? 60s?
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Nice. He was the first James Bond? I didn't know that. That's some good trivia. I remember that for later. I don't know later, but whatever. So next category is Best Cinematography. It was nominated with Life of Pi, Anna Karenina, Lincoln, and Skyfall. The winner was Life of Pi. Do you think it was worthy of being in this category, Joy?
No, because I've seen Skyfall, and that's almost flawless. Thank you, Roger Deakins. I've seen Life of Pi. That's pretty flawless as well. Surprisingly, I've never seen Anna Karenina, but it's on my list because I'm going to watch
it. You haven't?
I know.
Me
wow.
Not seeing a Keira Knightley period piece. How dare I?
That's like your aesthetic.
I know. And it's like a really interesting time period too. But I'm gonna watch it soon because I think it's on one of the streaming things for free now. So I'll do it. I don't think it's good enough to be in here. Like there was some nice shots. But usually anything that I would put in this category, I have like my notes are full of shots. Or like it's, I can't even write down enough shots because everything's perfect. So I probably wouldn't put it in here. It can be a runner up, but it's definitely not in these top five.
Do you happen to know what you would replace it with?
I really have to rewatch both Life of Pi and Skyfall to be able to judge. Because I saw them so many years ago. So I don't remember. I love my man, Roger Deakins, but also like the things that were done with Life of Pi. It brings me back to what was Gravity and what was the other one from that year that I was there was because like Gravity is like super like visual, a lot of visual.
Arrival? No.
There was another one that was more naturalistic, which not that Skyfall is naturalistic, but like Life of Pi that's very heavily like, you know, visual effects. And Skyfall that's not as heavy visual effects. There was something that same year that I was like back and forth on the both of them.
I would replace it with either Beasts of a Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Thank you. Or, that's what I was wanting to know.
Or maybe even my favorite Cloud Atlas.
Okay.
I might have to
watch that. Wasn't sure.
That's why it's so dismissive. Okay.
What?
The dismissive. Okay.
No, because what I'm saying is that's what I was wanting to know, because Joy kept saying which would win, but I was wanting to know who she wanted to replace Jenga with. So when you said Beasts or Cloud Atlas, okay, I'm writing this down.
Yeah, I would say Beasts of the Southern Wilds for sure.
I will never say the name of that movie right.
Try again.
Beasts of the Southern Wild. Is that correct?
That's really hard for you.
She's really close.
So yeah, that's Django Unchained. Would you recommend it to your friends that you shouldn't have because we're the only ones that matter? Thank you very much.
I guess not then.
Wait, I missed it. What'd you say?
I said, so that's Django Unchained. Would you recommend that to any of your other friends? Which shouldn't be anyone but just us.
I do not recommend
you watch
it. No.
I'm here. No. Sure, watch it. Why not? I don't care. Do what you want with your life.
No.
If you like Tarantino, then you're going to like this. If you don't, then you're not. And then that's it. That's all there is to it. I feel like with him, it's a really hard line. You either give a shit or you don't. And it just kind of sucks to see like something that could be so much better just like not live up to its potential.
You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. Yes, ma'am.
Anyways,
that's Django Unchained. Oh no, our rankings.
Oh yeah, my bad. See,
I feel like
how eager I'm ready to get done with this movie.
I have a feeling that we're all on the same page. Do we want to say them at the same time?
Yeah. What's number
Literally.
Three?
1, 2, 3. Beasts of the Southern. Oh, I thought we were starting from the top. I'm so sorry.
No, which we never
done. Why the hell are we starting from the top?
What is the bottom?
Started oh my god. Here. I'm so sorry. You've never started from the top ever. And here I am starting at the top. What a bitch.
I even said number three.
You're number three. You think I listen to you, Anna? You know I don't. Bitch, please.
No one ever does.
Oh man.
Not even you.
Not even you. Gonna be unpacking that one tonight.
Oh no.
Okay, number three.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Django
Unchained. Number two. Amor. Number one. Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Did I say like
it's
that?
So wild.
Wild. Oh my god. What an idiot.
You're an
idiot. Sorry, guys. I'm yelling. My bad.
It's okay.
Is it?
My sister's dumbass dog stepped on my notebook and now it's dirty.
Just clean it. Duh.
This is after I've cleaned it.
Ew. Did you, like, step in ink or something? What the hell happened?
Oh, dirt outside. They have a really muddy backyard.
Well, now it's been branded, so now it's official.
Oh, yeah. It's lived in.
It's lived a life. It's tired.
Like us.
Speaking of, so am I. We are dead. Well, it's been great seeing you, not talking about this movie.
We've been talking for an hour and 36 minutes, just almost as long as this movie.
We've been recording for 49 minutes and 45 seconds.
46, I said we've been talking.
I know, and I was saying recording. I was giving the other information.
They didn't ask about that.
They didn't ask about what you said either.
You don't know that.
You don't know that either. Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up! Okay, before this devolves any further, thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk about Les Mis
next time. Yeah, Les Mis teaser. Gearing for a lot singing, y'all.
Yeah, we're going to be performing the entire movie front to back, divvying up the parts. We'll be auditioning this week, so we'll let you know how that goes.
The entire podcast, our entire review is going to be in song form.
It will be.
Yeah.
You think we're joking, but no, yes. It will be.
What? Yeah. We ain't playing around here. We don't do that.
So
I know what I'm singing.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
I can't wait to see how you two split up parts.